Good evening. Maybe we'd relax and slow down from all the hustle and bustle today. And, you know, we all have our limits. We know, remember to do this, remember to do that. I'm working on this right now. And you can kind of feel your mind expanding a little bit, and making a mental note here and a mental note there. But, you know, you can only do that for so long, and then you start forgetting things. But anyway, it's been a real good day. It's been a busy day, and kind of felt like a spring day today, didn't it? Real nice outside, and so appreciate that from the Lord. Good weather, and hope everybody here has had a good day today. Okay, thank you. And, all right. Is that a little better? So, hope everybody here has had a good day today. Good to see Miss Nancy Carden with us tonight. And, coming from Alabama, is that right? And, so good to see you, and good to see everybody else. And, got a report today from our youngins. They're doing good, and Brother CJ sent me a video of Lily skiing, and of course she wasn't doing this, you know, she was doing this, but she was still standing up, and the most important part, she had a big smile on her face. And the last time she went was about 2 years ago, and she was, you know, a little bit younger at that time, she didn't know the children, the young people, as good then as she does now. And so it's just been a really good trip so far. They rode the mountain coasters, little buckets you sit in. It just coasts. It don't, you know, it's not a real roller coaster, motor powered or anything. But so we praise the Lord for them, and they're having a good time. Beautiful weather up there. And so what more can you ask for? All right. Let's jump right into things tonight, and the first prayer request I want to mention is Brother Ed Sanvey. I guess much of you have read the prayer request on our church Facebook page, but it's confirmed Brother Ed did have a stroke. I believe Miss Marianne said it was either yesterday or the day before, and so they hospitalized him. He's still there. And Miss Marianne called me right before church. I was getting ready to call her. And they're thinking about moving him into therapy from where he's at in the room. And, you know, I told Miss Marianne we'll have special prayer for him tonight and her. And I had to ask her, I had to be reminded. I said, how old is Brother Ed? And she said, 89. And he has a 90th birthday coming up, and so we were kind of talking about that, and she has some things kind of planned. So, you know, pray the Lord's will be done, but I pray he's able to celebrate his 90th birthday. That's what I want to pray for tonight. And but he's not that responsive. I think he can open his eyes, but no smiles, no nothing. And so, Brother Ed, he's been a soldier. You know, when they first came here, not long after, he had that aneurysm in the brain, since then, I think this is like 3 or 4 strokes, you know, and yet still comes in with a smile on his face. What excuse do I have? You know, so we appreciate them, but let's pray for them tonight. And let's continue to remember Miss Connie Teague as she recovers from her surgery. Brother Michael Bendy here up front. Friday is the day, is that right? He's going Friday for the upper GI to try to figure out what's going on with him. And we'll remember Miss Shauna as well for her support for him. And we do remember them on Friday. Brother Harold Dolph, he's doing okay. He wanted to come to church Sunday. He called me when I was in my office on Sunday morning. He got ready, got in the car, but he just couldn't catch up on his breathing. And anyway, he's doing better. I spoke with him yesterday. But love Brother Harold. And if you're watching Brother Harold, we're praying for you. Love you and miss you. Mary Kelly, her daughter, Sandra, as we mentioned Sunday, she had gallbladder surgery, but now she has to have a hernia surgery. So let's remember that. Sometimes hernias follow gallbladder surgeries. A hernia can follow any surgery. I know that I had my gallbladder removed, and I didn't lift a thing heavy for like a month, and I still managed to get a hernia, and I still have it. And so it's just kind of odd that Miss Connie Teague, hernia followed her gallbladder surgery, Mary Kelly's daughter. But we'll pray for her. Miss Claudia Darby, she can't wait to get back to church. Spoke with her a couple times. And let's see, we'll just run down through our prayer list after reading off these names. Let me mention one more before we read off the rest of the names. Brother Randy Ely, Brother Rand, Miss Diane, as you know, they were here Sunday. But Brother Randy texted me yesterday and asked if we would remember his niece. She has hip problems, and so she has some hip complications right now. So I said we'll remember her in prayer. Let's remember the Prestridges. Miss Cece's mother has breast cancer, and she's getting ready to go back and forth to Florida to be with her. Let's remember Brother Chuck as well. Our children's home, we will remember them. And again, they're having a great time up in North Carolina. Miss Ruby Harper, Leonard and Dolores Palmer, Carrie Bennett, James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles. It was good to see them Sunday. Miss Dawn Daly, she's kind of under the weather again. And so Brother Jim Jr., I was with him for a little while today, and he told me that. So we're praying for you, Miss Dawn. Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, Charlie Wilson. Brother Don, any updates on him and his hip? He's still in Paulden.
Yeah, she told me she'd call him.
Is he not?
Not in Paulden. No, he's up rehab center that's across from Kennesaw.
Okay. I know where that's at.
She's not pleased with it. She's very upset with it.
Yeah, I've been in that place before. It's kind of rough. Somebody cooked the books and said it was 5 stars, I guess. Well, let's remember him in our prayers. Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich. When Brother Don and Miss Carla coming this way? June? Okay. I was hoping it was going to be in time for Jubilee, but okay. Let's remember them. And Barbara Anderson, let's remember her. I'm going to go see her tomorrow down at the Powder Springs location where she's at. Miss Jenny Clanton, I'm going to try to fit her in as well tomorrow. It's been too long since I've seen Miss Jenny. Gerald and Francis Carroll, James Tolan Brown. James Tolan Brown, you know, is our Marine. And he's back in town. I didn't know that. He's back in town. And so I seen, I think he was at Westridge Church this past Sunday. But I'd like to say hello to him if we get a chance. And let's remember Payden Cochran in the Navy, Kevin Brook, Champion Christian College, and all of our shut-ins. I talked to the McCrickers this afternoon, Miss Emily and Brother Arnold, and they're doing... they're maintaining. They're doing okay. And told them we was getting ready to have Jubilee, and so we'll make sure we get them some copies so they can listen. I know they want to be here, but they just can't be here. Joyce Manning, Ken Bryant, and many of the other shut-ins that we have. Let's remember each and every person there as well. Let's just remember this coming up Sunday, and I'm looking for the Lord to do great things. I'm not just saying that. I really feel like God is doing something and wants to do something. And I feel like we're on the heels of something great. And so I'm really praying for a wonderful Sunday morning service, Sunday night. And then, of course, the following week, Sunday, will be Jubilee. And so remember that. It's going to be a great time. All right, does someone have a request or a praise or something to mention tonight? You want to?
Jubilee is going to be in the Marietta Daily Journal Saturday.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you for that. So we're going to have to clip that out of there and keep it for a souvenir. Appreciate that. Anybody else before we pray? All right, well, I'll tell you what, let's all that would and who are able to meet us down on the altar, you can make your way now. And normally we have silent prayer on Wednesday, but we'll have audible prayer tonight. Just want to remember Brother Ed and Miss Mary Ann, and pray for them. And I know there's many other needs too, so we'll...
Heavenly Father, we come tonight in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I just thank you for who you are and for what you do, O Lord. And Lord, we come to you tonight on the behalf of Brother Ed, Sandy, Miss Mary Ann. Lord, what a couple they are to this church. What an addition. What a blessing they are, both of them. Just their spirits and their just their love, Lord, that they have. Their desire for the Lord. Their desire for life. We appreciate that. But Father, tonight we call upon you that you would... We want Brother Ed healed. I want Brother Ed healed. And Lord, tonight, though, as we pray for healing, we do pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Because, Lord, we want what you want. Because, Lord, you have the... God, you're looking at things from the bigger picture. You have a bigger picture. Lord, you are... omniscient, Lord. You know all things. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere at the same time. You're omnipotent, Lord. You have all power. And so, Father, we pray that you would heal Brother Ed, but Lord, you do whatever it is that fulfills your plan, Lord. And Father, as a church, we stand here in the gap for Miss Mary Ann. We lift her up. We lift up her arms, Lord. And like in the Old Testament, when Moses' arms were getting tired and his arms were lifted up by Aaron and her, Lord, that the victory was to the Jews. And Father, we just lift up Miss Mary Ann. We ask God that you would just give her strength and grace and power, Lord, and that peace that she needs, Lord. And Father, tonight, as Brother Ed is in Kennestone Hospital and he's laying there, God, I pray that you'll ease any pain that's in his body. Lord, I pray that you'll make a special visit to him and give him peace, calm his nerves. Lord, bring him to that place of settlement and contentment he needs to be going through this situation. Father, we love the Sandys. We love all of our church family members here, Lord. The prayer list we read off, Lord, each and every person, every life, every situation, oh God, you know who needs what. And so tonight we pray an umbrella prayer over our bulletin, all the prayer requests. Lord, do what you seem fit. Be with those, Lord, who are mentally downtrodden, that needs a touch mentally. And be with those, Lord, who need a touch physically. God, I pray for this coming up Sunday that you would pour your blessings out upon us. Help us, Lord, as we mentioned last Sunday, the psalmist had a passion for God's house, Lord. And I feel within myself, Lord, that you are trying to do something, you want to do something, and you work through the children of obedience, and so help us do that. Help us be obedient children to you. Lord, help us not come to church in unbelief, but come to church believing that you want to do great and mighty things. Father, we pray for Jubilee that's coming around the corner. Every preacher, every singer, every person, every family that's going to be here. We pray that you'll just anoint that service now. Be with us tonight in a mighty way. I pray that you'd use your word for your own glory. And we'll praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Tell you what I'm going to do tonight. I'm taking this thing off. And shedding this thing once and for all. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 5, please. The book of Acts, chapter number 5. And I've kind of been in the same vein as we were in on Sunday morning, just talking about, again, the psalmist, how he had a passion for God's house. And so we mentioned several things about that, just getting excited about God's house, really plugging in to the Lord and the time that we're together in God's house for it really to be something and for the Lord to move. And so we're going to stay in that vein, but we're going to mention some things in a little different way tonight. In Acts chapter number 5, I want to begin reading in verse number 12, and I want to go down to verse number 16, and then we'll give the title and we will introduce the lesson. Acts 5 and verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst not man join himself to them. Man, how about that word? Durst not. But the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And then verse number 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. I'm going to stop reading there in verse number 16. Let me say, by way of introduction tonight, that the early church, as you know, that study the Bible, the early church had spiritual power. They had spiritual power. And we just read some of the things that they did. Now, let me say, I do not believe that the gift of healing, miracles and signs and wonders and all of that, those gifts have faded off the scene, I believe. And they were to be used for the unbelieving Jew, is how I believe it to be. And so those gifts are faded off the scene, but yet they did have power. So we're not saying that we believe again in the gift of miracles, or, you know, there's only one who can perform miracles, that's Jesus. There's only one who can heal, that's Jesus. No man can do that, heal anybody. And so those things are faded off the scene, those gifts. But they had spiritual power. And let me say this, a lot of churches today, they have programs. I mean, we have some programs. But a lot of churches go by those programs. They put those programs before God even. Maybe they don't realize that they're actually doing that, putting those programs before God, because they've done it for so long. But a lot of churches today have programs and promotions, publicity and popularity, but do not have the power of God in their church, in those churches. Let me say this. We had a visitor this past Sunday morning, and she sat right over here on this side, about where Miss Nancy's sitting. And I spoke to her after the service. She spoke to Brother Ceylon, or Brother Ceylon spoke to her. I spoke to her. And she said, you know, I'm just passing through. I'm looking for a new church. And really the words she said was pretty sad, but it's true. She said that the Spirit is not in my church anymore. That is so sad. I don't know how long she's been a member at her church, but she wants to be where the Spirit's at. She wants to be where God's Word is being preached. And so that's what she said. I want to be where God's at. And I was thinking about our conversation, and I mean, the whole content of the message that we preached Sunday morning dealt with that. And so God's at work here. God's working. He's doing mighty things. But a lot of churches are cold. They're indifferent. Just because we're low in number at times, that doesn't mean that God's not working here. I've been in some churches before that were low in number. And I'll tell you what, it's like a cold mortuary. It is just bad, 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 bad. And in a lot of those churches where there's that coldness and deadness, they do go by programs and they stick to it. They don't err from it, because they want the show to go on, so to speak. They want to have church, but they just don't have the power. Don't have the power. Tonight I want to share a lesson with you entitled "The Requirements for the Power of God." Now let me just say, I do not know everything there is to know about God's power. As God reveals His power to me, as I relate it to things in my life, and most importantly, as I look into God's Word concerning His power, that's the extent that I know of it. But when it comes to God's power, when it comes to God's church. When it comes to us as individuals, there's some requirements to enable that power. And so tonight, the lesson, we're looking at it as a church, but yet at the same time, we can look at it as individuals. How can we as individuals have God's power? How can we as a church have God's power? And you say, what do you mean God's power? Well, the power in our own personal lives to overcome weaknesses we have. We need God's power for that. We need God's power in order to yield to the Spirit and say no to the flesh. We need God's power in order for us to have a happy home. I need God's power so I can be the husband I need to be. Christy needs God's power so she can be the wife she needs to be. Lily needs God's power so she can be the daughter she needs to be. And so we need God's power individually, but also we need God's power as a church. We meet together three times a week, and we have Sunday school teachers, and of course we preach, and but we have a choir that sings music with a message, and that's fine, but we got to have his power. You say, Brother Justin, you talking about putting on some big show, being charismatic? No, I'm not talking about that at all. But what I am talking about is whenever that Sunday school lesson is done or that message is preached, there are people responding to the gospel for whatever need, whether it's salvation, whether it's just, you know, a Christian who's been following at afar, someone who needs to be encouraged. You know, and a lot of times people, they, and a lot of people from these great big mega churches, they look at churches like us and they say, well, God's not working there. And so the idea is, how do you measure how God's working at any given church? Do we say that a mega church, they have all of these thousands of people, so that means that God is working there? Can we say that definitively? So how do you measure where God's at? How do you measure the areas that God is working? And I'll say this. One way is there's unity in a church. God is working where there's unity. God is working in a church. Doesn't matter if there's thousands, and I'm not against that. Doesn't matter if there's, you know, 20 on a Wednesday night. If there's love abounding in a church, if there's unity abounding, if the body of Christ is wanting to serve and do something, that's how you measure spiritual success, in my opinion. I would love to have this place filled up. But I also want the people to come here who God sends for us. I learned really at our first church back at Zion View Baptist, you know, first church, getting our feet wet, everything that I knew, I gleaned from my pastor back at Floyd Road. And so anybody that came that wanted to join the church, I was excited. I was like, okay, come on down, let's join the church. You know, join the church. And only one requirement, you got to be saved. And so on one occasion, there was a man who came down, and he was about 6'3" and about 400 pounds. He wore overalls, and his name was Mark. He said, Pastor, I want to join the church. I said, well, are you saved? Do you know you're saved? Oh, yeah, I've been saved for a long, long time. I said, all right, come back on Sunday. We had a little cookout at the church. It was on a Saturday. He came back. He joined the church. And then when I started to have communion one time, I told the church, according to Scripture, that, you know, this is the bread, my body that's broken for you. Here's the cup. The cup. It's mentioned the cup. It's not wine, not alcohol. And so I got to preaching that, and we had communion. He met me at the door, and he said, boy, what you got against alcohol? I had an alcoholic on my hands back at Zion View. And every time we had communion, every time, I mean, it was Super Bowl Sunday night, I said, we're still having church. And, I mean, he was leaving the church, and service was over at that point. And it was like he was trying to pin me up against the wall, intimidate me. You know, and things like that should not go on in church. So what are we saying tonight? Well, we need God's power in our churches. And so you measure that by the fruit that we're bearing. You measure that not necessarily in numbers, but in spiritual wellness. And I think that's happening here. I really do. I don't think I know it is. All right, so tonight the requirements for the power of God. There's five requirements in Scripture that will plug us in. Number one, if we're going to have the power of God individually and corporately, it does not come without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, turn, if you would, over to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Listen to this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so we see here that the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit that was promised by Jesus and preached by John came down from heaven. And again, we don't believe in tongues. I don't believe in tongues. I believe that was something that has faded off the scene. We're not going to talk about tongues tonight, but again, Peter got up and he preached in one unified language and everybody understood. And so it's not about some jibber-jabber. It's not about some charismatic show that's being put on. And by the way, you know, the church of Corinth was a very worldly and carnal church. And they're the ones, or at least that's where some of the spiritual gifts are laid out and tongues are mentioned. Now, so we see that the presence of the Holy Spirit is what's needed for the power of God. And it came on the day of Pentecost. Let me just say this while we're on our first point. In the Old Testament, there were days when the Spirit would come upon men. You remember Samson? The Spirit of God would come upon Samson and he'll be empowered to do whatever God wanted him to do. Of course, it's Old Testament, a lot of killing and, you know, things like that. But the Holy Spirit empowered him, tying all those foxtails together, you know, going after the enemy. And I'll even say this, in the very end of his life, had all of the enemies around him. The enemy was present. They had taken out his eyes. He grabbed the two pillars. He grabbed the pillars and he took those pillars out. And the Bible says that Samson killed more in his death than in his life, speaking of the enemy. The Holy Spirit does come, or at least in the Old Testament days, came on people from time to time. I will say this, there was a time after Samson was with Delilah. I'll back up and say another time, I think there was. But Samson, he needed to defend himself. He needed God's power. And the Bible says he went out to shake himself like other times before. And he wist not that the Holy Spirit had departed from him. You know, there's prerequisites that allow us to have the Holy Spirit and his power on us. But there's also things that offend him and grieve him that will cause him to leave as well. Not leave our souls or hearts, that is. Tonight we see that the presence of the Holy Spirit is a requirement for the power of God. Let me say this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event in the life of a believer. And we are baptized into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit itself only happens one time in the believer's life. That's at salvation. We are baptized into the body of Christ. And we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. And so he is given to us so that we'll have power to live for Jesus. But also I want to say this. The believer is, or the believer needs to be filled from day to day. Why is it that we need to be, why is it that at salvation we receive the Holy Spirit for power and to live a life pleasing to God? If we received Him then, why do we need to be filled every day? I mean, we have Him, that's a token of salvation, but why does the Bible talk about be ye filled with the Holy Spirit? And talking to believers, I'll tell you why. Because we leak. We leak. Our sinful nature, just, you know, our depravity as humans, our fallen nature, our minds, the kind of world we're living in and how we respond and react, we don't always do. I know I don't always do the right things. I try to. And so I leak. Going down the road in traffic, somebody cuts me off. You know, I don't want to say, God bless you, come to Calvary. I have a habit, and I'm trying to learn, and Christy tells me to stop doing this. I have a habit of going, it's a fist, it's, you know, no fingers. And I'd never do anything like that. It's just the flesh. But every time I go like this, I leak a little bit of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is usually I get home and I feel bad about it. And I, Lord, please forgive me for acting that way. There could be a church member going down the road and see me pumping my fist in the air. How, you know, how spiritual will that be? That's some leader for you right there. And so, but the moment that I confess it, ask God to forgive me for it, the Holy Spirit begins to connect back with me on a certain level that I can live in victory with. And so the Holy Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit at the new birth. And then, again, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. That's over in Ephesians 5 in verse number 18. All right, let me mention something else. Talking about the requirements for the power of God. The presence of the Holy Spirit, but number two, prayer. Prayer, something that is so unutilized. And again, I'm talking about myself when I speak on prayer. And I really feel like I speak on prayer a good deal. And that's because I've been striving to have a prayer life. And that's because God has showed me if I go to Him in prayer every single day. And when I go to pray, when I don't rush it, and it's not rushed, and I just, doesn't have to be a long time, 5-10 minutes, just relax. I got that prayer chair in my garage. I just simply just relax in that chair, and I breathe out. I turn the fan on, and I relax. I just close my eyes, and I feel like I place myself in God's hand. And once I get myself to that point, I know that I'm ready to pray. And I know the benefits of praying. And every time that I take my time in prayer, and every time that, and I don't pray every day like I should, but I try to. I don't miss many days. I don't miss many days. I'm not bragging on me, trust me. God has allowed adversity in my life for me to get a steady prayer life. So there's no bragging on my part. But try to pray every day, and God always blesses. God always fills. There's never a time that I don't walk away where I feel like I've accomplished something in my relationship with the Lord. Prayer, great things happen when there is great praying. Acts chapter number, let's see, where are we at? Let's go back to chapter number 4 for a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number 30. Acts 4 in verse number 30. Down through verse number 31. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, in that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, I guarantee you it wasn't a quick prayer to check it off their spiritual list. It was praying because they needed the Lord. I mean, this was a time of adversity for the early church as well. And so when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Prayer is the key for speaking God's word. Prayer is the key for witnessing. Prayer is the key for that thing that's in your life that you may look at with fear. Really lock in with prayer. Believe in the power of prayer, and God has a way. You could all testify yourselves, your stories. God has a way of allowing there to be peace when there was no peace. He can make the crooked things straight. The Lord just has a way of working through prayer. Prayer is the key, and it's one of the most unutilized things that we have. Listen to this. Joshua prayed, and the sun stood still, didn't it? That's Joshua 10, verse number 12 through 14. You can just jot it down. Moses prayed, and Moses' prayer held back the judgment of God on Israel. Remember that, Exodus 32, verse 11 and 12. God was getting ready to chalk them up, be done with them. Moses interceded as their shepherd, said, please, Lord, please, just have mercy. So prayer was that key ingredient there. It held back the judgment of God on Israel. And then Elijah prayed and stopped the rain, James chapter number 5, verse 17. And then Elijah's prayer caused it to rain, James 5 and verse number 18. And something about Elijah in the book of James, it says he was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now, I'm not saying that we could just, you know, Lord, let it rain right now. And start raining. Stop the rain, Lord. You know, nothing like that. No genie in the bottle kind of stuff. But I believe that it's speaking of Elijah's relationship with God. The fervent, the earnest, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's the kind of relationship Elijah had. He stopped the rain. He caused it to rain through prayer. And then what about Hezekiah and his prayer? He turned to the wall after he was told that he's getting ready. He might as well set your house in order. You're going to die. He turned to the wall and prayed, oh, Lord, please. Please, Lord, please extend my life. And because of that earnest prayer, because of Hezekiah being in the place where he knows that nothing else will work, that moment he prayed, and God added 15 years to his life. It's all about being in the atmosphere of prayer. It's about thinking about your options, and there is no other options. God has to do something. God must intervene. And I think, and I know, and I'm learning, that when we come to God that way, that can really move the heart of God. Prayer is the secret to the power of God. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Prayer is the secret to the power of God. And so we must plug into the power source, and that is prayer. All right, the second requirement for the power of God is prayer. The first requirement is the presence of the Holy Spirit. But number three is purity. Purity. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6 for a moment, if you would. 2 Corinthians 6, or listen if you would like to. There is no way I can mark all of these pages. Let me just say, if Miss Dawn Daly is watching, I said that one Wednesday night, and she sent some page markers for me through Brother Jim, so thank you for those, Miss Dawn. But when you got like 20-something pages, there's just no use even trying. Purity. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 17 and 18. Listen to this. Therefore, if any man, hold on, I'm in the wrong place. 2 Corinthians, yeah, all right, one more chapter ahead. All right. 17. All right. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Not only that's an individual thing for the power of God is purity. Come out from among the world, don't touch the unclean thing, but also for a church. where purity is in the hearts of the congregants, then there's also the power of God. Let's see. Ephesians 5. I do want to get this one in there. Ephesians 5, 11. Listen to this. Got that one marked. Ephesians 5, 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Listen to this. But rather reprove them. And that word reprove, it means to tell a fault. It means to convict, admonish, or correct. And so we know that, as the Scripture says, that we're not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Because if we do that individually, we leak. We leak God's power. And if we do that as a church, if there's unfruitful works of darkness, the church also leaks of God's power. Again, that word reprove, it means to tell a fault. It means to convict, admonish, correct. And that's what we do when we're preaching. That's what we do when we're teaching. We're sharing God's word, and sometimes it convicts. Sometimes it's a word of admonishment. The teacher, the pastor may feel led to give out a word of correction. And while that's there in the church being preached and taught, then there's no unfruitful works of darkness taking place because it's all being reproved. Whether from the pulpit or individually in a person's life. So that can apply as individuals and as a church. Purity. Purity. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That will grieve the Holy Spirit and cause His power to wane. All right. God will not give the church power when it tolerates sin. Listen, I'm not going to share a bunch of stories tonight, and I'm not even going to name any churches, but I was a part of one, again, in my early stages of ministry. First day on the job, found out that the choir director was a homosexual, openly. There was a couple of deacons, and they both dipped snuff in the sound room. A couple of the people in the church, they were actually, I caught them popping pills during church like illegal drugs. So, I mean, it's harsh things take place. God will not tolerate sin in the church. And so I was the new pastor. So guess what? Either I would do what I knew I was supposed to do biblically and try to move ahead as a church, or just let it go. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not no spiritual bully. I just couldn't let it go. And so I had a couple meetings, and the guy that was an open homosexual, I met him at Zaxby's one night to eat so we could talk. And I didn't even have to ask him. He came out and said it. He said, "I'm gay, and I want you to know it." I said, "Well, I'm going to have to ask you to step down from directing choir." He stood up. He balled up his napkin, and he threw it in his plate. He says, "I ain't never coming back to church," and left. You know, just stuff like that. Just stuff like that. But you gotta decide if you're going to make a stand or not. And God placed us there for a reason. And I'll say this, again, nothing that we did, just being obedient, but about the time we left that church, there was 15 when we first arrived, and then we, by the time we left, we had a choir director. We had about 25 in the choir. We did our first, the first Easter cantata there in a number of years. There was about 60 people, and, you know, my mom died there. On that third year, my mom got killed in a car wreck, and I was just so... you know, really just bewildered from that, you know. And then it just seemed like people started leaving around that time, and God told me it was time to go. And so I believe the reason why God was starting to bless there is because of the gospel being preached, the Bible holding people accountable. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All it takes is a little bit of sin. And so That's the hard part of ministry, but it has to be done, and it's always done in love with me. So purity is a big thing for the power of God. It's a requirement. A defiled church will not be a dynamic church. You remember the sin of Achan? And he was told not to take of the unclean thing. And he took of the utensils, whatnot, the plates. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he hid it. All right. And we know what happened to Achan. He got stoned to death. I'm glad we're not in the Old Testament nowadays. terrible, terrible way to go. But God didn't honor that. He wasn't pure. He wasn't upright. He wasn't honest. And then in our verses, or at least in Acts chapter number, early part of Acts 5, we have the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. And they lied to the Holy Spirit about giving their portion over. And so they were both struck dead. Listen to this. It's been a while since I read this story, and man, it's really something. Acts 5, verse number 1. We'll just read all the verses. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being, I say that word is privy, some say privy, being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. Man. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And then verse number 6, these young men, they work at the funeral home. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out and buried him. So we have the young men working at the local funeral home. They just showed up and carried him out. Verse number 7, and it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, this is startling. Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Again, purity, honesty, what we say to the Lord, what we, our obedience or lack thereof, that kind of thing doesn't go well within the church. Didn't go well here. Again, back to Achan, didn't go well with him. And so a requirement for the power of God is purity. It is yielding to the Holy Spirit, shunning the flesh. It's being different. It's not being perfect, but it's recognizing that we have a mark to hit because we desire to hit that mark. And Paul says that all these old things, they're all passed away, and I'm not worrying about them. I'm letting them things go. But now that I'm born again, I press toward the mark of the prize. He says, I'm constantly going after it. I'm constantly reaching. I haven't arrived yet, but I'm trying. Purity, purity. And so if there's ever going to be a moving of God, there's got to be purity. I know that we're all an unclean thing. I know that. And so I don't know how God decides when he's going to do a certain something in a church. He knows who's pure. He knows who's not pure. He knows who's habitually sinning, planning to sin, and who doesn't. All those things are up to God when he does move in a church or moves in a person's life. But purity will move the heart of God every time. Now, there's the sin of commission. That's something that we've committed that's offensive to God. There's the sin of omission, something that we haven't done that we should have done that is offensive to God. And so on a scale of a church, the reason why some churches are cold and dark, there's no pull from the pulpit, there's no connecting with the people, is because there is a lack of prayer, a lack of devotion. And in many cases, many people, they just come with unbelief. I just don't think God's going to do it. And listen, I wrestle with that. I wrestle with that. But that's not going to be my case every Sunday. I reject that. God placed us here for a reason. It didn't have to happen, but it did. My heart is all the way in. Christy's heart, Lily's heart is all the way in. And so when that voice tells me that nothing will happen, the good days are past for Calvary, it's all over, that's a lie. That's a lie. And when I walk in here believing that lie and try to preach, you can forget it. There's no connecting with you guys. And you may have noticed, but really, I guess for the past 6 months, whenever I'm praying on Sunday morning from the pulpit, opening things up right before I preach, I say, Lord, gird up the loins of my mind. Give me a clear head and a calm heart. I got to have both. If my heart is not calm and I have anxiety or somebody's here, you know, and that I hadn't seen in a long time, and, you know, sometimes that's nerve-wracking. Let's see if Brother Justin's grown any in his preaching. You know, that's nerve-wracking if you're not careful. And then a clear head. I mean, I've got notes to look at. It's in my heart, but yet I've got notes to look at. I got references. I got to have both. I got to have a clear head. I got to have a calm heart. And so the Lord, he works in those ways. Purity in the local church, purity in our lives. Let me mention number four, and then we got one more. A requirement for the power of God is unity. Unity. I said it a moment ago, but one of the, I believe, indications of a spiritually well church, a church moving forward, is unity. Acts chapter number 1, in verse 14. Listen to this. Acts 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They were in one accord. And I'll say, I'm sure that prayer got them in one accord, prayer and supplications, but also at the same time, by being in one accord, they were able to pray and call upon God. And so they continued. It wasn't just one day they prayed together, but they continued. Or one moment together. They continued. They were in one accord, and therefore they could pray together. So unity. Look at chapter number 2 again in verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. God spoke to me this afternoon and told me this. If I'm wrong, it's my human fault. If I want a little Pentecost in my life, then I've got to be unified with my church. If we want some Pentecost, I'm not talking about Pentecostal, but if we want a great moving of the Holy Spirit, it has to be with us being in one accord. And we are in one accord. We are. I got to be in one accord with my own family. If I want a little bit of Pentecost power in my home to have the marriage I need to have, and the relationship with Lily I need to have, and all the other things that I need to have, a little Pentecost power comes by unity. So the church will not have the power of God when there is division in the church, when there is arguing, bickering, and disputing in the church. It reveals the lack of unity. I'm so glad we have unity here. Does anybody disagree that we don't have unity? We do have unity here. And that doesn't mean we won't ever have a cross word with one another from time to time. I mean, that's what happens in families, you know. At home, there's times where things get a little, you know, everybody's tired and everybody's hungry. And, you know, this one wants to watch that one on TV and I want to watch this one. And, you know, sometimes we say things we don't mean, but then it's, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Same thing in church. The Bible tells us to forbear one another. And that word forbear means to put up with. So, unity. Let me mention this. There's one more, and we'll be through tonight. The requirements of the power of God, lastly, public worship. Public worship. Acts chapter number 5, verse number 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So I just read that and you heard that. There were things happening. Then it says, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. So they were in one accord, but they were together. Listen up, Facebook watchers. I'm just being honest here. If you want to experience the power of God, you got to come to church. You just have got to come to church. There were, verse 12, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. You keep reading, and multitudes getting saved. That don't happen by me, myself, and I at home. Thank God for Facebook Live. But if you want to experience the power of God, you got to come to church and be part of it. And so we see that things were happening. They were in one accord. They were all together. Verse number 16, and that latter part says that unclean spirits and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. If they weren't together, they wouldn't have been healed. Now, let me say this in conclusion, that this doesn't mean that we can't meet in someone's house as a church. That's how they did in the early days. They met in homes. They met in public places. I can remember at Floyd Road when I first started preaching, I was Brother Buford Howard. He was the one in charge of the ministry there at Cobb County Jail. And first started preaching, and I'd go there, and I tell you, we had church. We had church in the jail cafeteria. All of those inmates singing Amazing Grace and lifting their hands and crying and clapping their hands. I'll tell you what, that's where the power's at. So whether it's in a church building, whether it's all of y'all coming to my house, me coming to y'all's house, whether I hope it's not in jail, but there's church in jail, it's all about the people. It's all about coming together. Hebrews 10:25 says, for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And he goes on and he talks about how the day is getting closer. And so public worship, the power of God. And so I just encourage those watching on Facebook. We're not trying to be mean or cruel or understanding of anybody. But if you can make it here, come. You'll be blessed. You'll be part of the solution. And you'll see what God's doing. And so the requirements for the power of God, the Holy Spirit, prayer, purity, unity, and then public worship. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, I pray that you would just take this lesson tonight and just refresh our hearts with it as my heart was refreshed and honestly got excited about sharing it tonight. Lord, I know you're doing things here at the church. We're not just saying that. so that we'll believe it. But Lord, we're saying that because you're doing things. And we're so very excited and happy for that. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll be with every person, every life, those watching on Facebook, those that are here. Get us all home safely tonight. Let us have a good, productive rest of the week. Tell someone about Jesus. Make it back safely on Sunday. And Lord, we pray that you'll do amazing things on Sunday morning and Sunday night. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anything to mention before we close? Thank you. I'm glad you did. I met my goal then. And so... It is so easy to do. Sometimes we're Mary and sometimes we're Martha. All right. Well, if no one has anything, you're dismissed. Everybody be safe. See you Sunday.